Fearful Separation series from the world. And I remember our first pastor, Dr. Charlie Ware, used to say that the world is going farther and farther away from God, obviously. They're not anchored to Jesus. And we can expect that. That's not a problem. Well, it is a problem, because the reason why the world gets so far away from God's standards and God's Bible is the only Bible translation the world is going to see in many cases is you and me. And the problem is, as I preached, that there was a standard bearer who was carrying the standard. Here's the standard, Matt. I'll have you put it back in because I will need your help. But the standard bearer is carrying the standard. And the standard bearer is on the hill. This is a true story. And the troops were on the hill, but withering enemy fire was coming at them, coming up the hill. And they were being charged, and they freaked out, and the troops retreated down the hill. And the officer that led in the retreat down the hill saw that the standard bearer had stayed on the hill. And he was staying up there, and the fire was coming witheringly, but he was standing fast, and they weren't able to take him out. And he said, the officer down the hill said, "Would the standard bearer please retreat to the troops?" And the standard bearer said, "With all due respect, sir, would the troops reconnoiter to the standard bearer?" And they did. And when they came up the hill, they won the battle. And the standard represents fundamentalism. And fundamentalism, if it's real fundamentalism, represents what? Truth. God's truth. That doesn't mean we're to be holier than thou. But it does mean we're to be holy and keep with the standard and do that in our life when it comes in. Some people say, well, some of these things are not important. Jesus said, if you do and teach what the least of these commandments, you'll be great in the kingdom of heaven. But if you don't do and teach them, you'll be least in the kingdom of heaven. And so don't look at people. Stay with God. Now, Eli, would you be a new evangelifish preacher tonight? Would you come on up and help me out here? That means basically that you're not going to stay with the standards. You know, you're going to follow the world. So I'm going to give him a Bible here. I'm going to give him this Bible. So he's got a Bible. He looks like a preacher, doesn't he? And what I want you to do, we're going to get some worldly person here, and they're going to keep getting farther and farther away from what you're preaching. But every time they get away, you're going to go down to them. Camille, would you come up here, please? Camille's going to come up, and she's going to be... I'm always letting Camille be the compromiser. Isn't that terrible? And she does it so faithfully. All right, there's Camille. Now, Camille, you're going to backslide down one step. Go down a step. Eli, take one step toward her. Go down again. Take another step toward her. Go down again. Take another... Now start going that way a couple steps. Go down another step, Eli. All right. Two steps back, Camille. One step down. Do you get the picture? Do you get the picture? All right. Thank you. Let's give them a hand. These backsliders a hand. Now, the real man of God, when she's taking those steps, he's just going to stay right there. And if she ever gets right with God, she's going to come on up to where he is. Amen? But he's not going to move. And what I'm saying is, I shall not be moved, just like a tree that's planted by the waters, I shall not be moved. You know where that is in Psalm 1? You read it today if you're reading our scripture with us. You shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of living water. You should be meditating in the Word of God day and night. But if you're on your cell phone all day watching videos of worldly people, you're not right with God. I said, you're not right with God. If you're watching YouTube videos that are worldly, you're not right with God. I watched a YouTube video today. Thank God it was about Jonathan Edwards. Do you know that he fasted and prayed for 3 days before he preached at Enfield, Connecticut, the second time on sinners in the hands of an angry God? The first time he preached on it, there was no response. It was just like a religious lecture. But the second time he preached, the people clawed their pews. They felt like they were falling into hell. They fell to their faces and they cried out to God for mercy. And here was Edwards. He would take 13 hours a day, 13 hours a day, like this, in the woods. And he would pray and study his Bible, not all on the face in the woods, but some of it was studying the Bible and meditating on the Word of God. That man rocked America because God rocked that man. Along with Gilbert Tennant and along with men like George Whitefield and others. Leading lights in the Great Awakening. There's a Dutch Reform pastor. I can't even say his name, even though I'm part Dutch. Friesen, Lysen, something like that. And he was greatly used. I'm just saying that if we want to make an impact for God, we've got to, if we want to make an impact for God, we've got to stand. And we've got to stay with God and with His Word and meditate in it day and night. And we've got to have preachers that do not have lace on their underwear, sissy britches, these kind of preachers. And we need that today more than ever. You talk about Bob Gray and Tony Hudson. We need more of that today. Amen. And amen. Thank God for those kind. Now, this is the ninth message on careful separation. And we've been talking about not moving the ancient landmarks. In Israel, they were not to move the ancient landmarks. Remember, Naboth, the king, tried to pressure him to sell his property. And he said, I can't. I inherited that. That would put it in a different tribe. It would put it, I can't do that. It would violate God's will, his law. And Jezebel said, don't worry to the king. We'll take care of this guy. And she lied about him, had him killed, took over his vineyard. And God said, that's not to be done. You're not to sell out what men of God and women of God have done in the past. You're to stay with it. And so we've been talking about what it says and asking a question. Should you separate yourself from drinking alcohol? Some people say, well, Jesus made wine. He turned the water into wine. Paul said, use a little wine for your stomach's sake and your oft infirmities. By the way, I do that. I do that. I fast sometime and I use a little wine for my stomach's sake. And I found out it's tremendous. But let me explain. As we've been preaching, how many kinds of wine have we preached on that there is in the Bible?
Two.
There's two kinds of wine. One is good and one is bad. And it's translated in the King James Bible, wine. And I know there are different Hebrew and Greek words, and I could get into all that, but I'm not going to do that with you tonight. I've done that in the past. But I just want to take the Bible and say there are two different kinds of wine in the Bible, and you've got to understand that. And I preached last week on the good wine, which Paul talked about. Take a little of that for your stomach's sake and your oft infirmities, and it will help you. And I like to do that. I have a big bottle of it right now in my closet. But it's good wine, and it is not bad wine. And that's what we said last week. You should see that there is good wine in the Bible. Now, what is that good wine? I'm not going to go over the whole message. I'll just give you a couple of verses. First, let's go up to Genesis 27, verse 28. Genesis 27, 28. Let me read it to you. It says, therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and the plenty of corn and wine. Now, God is saying, hey, you'll be blessed if God gives you a lot of corn. Now, I don't believe that was the corn on the cob kind of corn, although there may have been some of that. I'm not going to deny it. But the corn often was a corn of wheat. Like, if you ever have wheat, like my daughter Amy, she grinds wheat and mills it. and makes it into bread, and she makes fresh bread every day from that kind of wheat. And she's told me a lot of the people that have this, what is that called, gluten-free and all this, is because they have the wrong kind of wheat, and it's preserved and everything, and she mills it fresh. So anyway, my point to you is that when he says here, your corn, it's like fresh cut wheat or barley. And then you can grind it and eat it fresh. Well, what would you think the wine is? The wine is picked fresh from grapes, put in a wine press. And the old wine press, they used to just jump on it, you know, a bunch of people have a party, and the stuff squishes out and it comes. That's wine. That's good wine. That's the kind of wine I have. What's the name of that grape juice? Kadem. It's called Kadem, starting with a G, right? You get it at Weiss Market. I get it sometime at Walmart and so forth. Kadem. I get a great big thing of it. It's delicious. A lot of the Jewish people have that, don't they? Kadem. That's probably what you saw it there. And it's good for your stomach. It really is. You don't need a lot of it because it'll make you fat if you drink a lot of juice. But next Proverbs, Deuteronomy 7:13. I'm going to tell you about some more good wine, okay? I want you to get some good wine, amen? It says, he will also bless the fruit of thy womb and the fruit of thy land, thy corn and thy wine. God's saying, I'll bless it. Why? Because you're going to have a harvest. You're going to have a lot of crops. And you're going to celebrate by having a wine press party and drinking that wine, which is just fresh, squeezed grape juice. That's what the wine is. That's good wine. Then he says that I will give you the first rain and the latter rain that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine. Now listen to me. If they're gathering it in, if they're picking a harvest in the fall, end of summer, and they're celebrating like our first Pilgrim Fathers had Thanksgiving. They invited the Indians, you know, over, the American natives, and come on over and celebrate, and we'll thank God. Well, what kind of wine would that be? Well, obviously it's fresh. It's freshly picked. It's not fermented. It is not distilled into alcohol. That's not what God is talking about. And then he says Numbers 18:12. Let me look at that one. It says, the children of Israel brought in abundance, the first fruits. Notice that. First fruits of corn, wine, and oil, and honey, and of the increase of the land. I like to put olive oil on sometime. That makes me feel good. Olive oil. And your face shines. But it's good for, you know, moisturizing your skin. You get older and your skin just... So a little olive oil helps, you know. But that's what it's talking about, fresh olive oil. It's talking about fresh wheat. It's talking about fresh grape squeezed right out of the grapes. And he says that is not fermented. It's not distilled there or anything like that. I have a whole lot of other verses, but we already preached on this good wine. But let me look at another one. Here's Isaiah 65, verse 8 says, as the new wine is found in the cluster, one and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it. Now, let me ask you a question. What? One of the men tell me, because men will help me to preach. I don't want any ladies help me to preach tonight. What is new wine still in the cluster? What do you think that's talking about? Isaiah 65. Verse 8, and God said, destroy it not, for there's a blessing in it. You know, you see people throwing away people's alcohol. What do you think that is? Anybody know? Raise your hand if you know. Now think about it. How do grapes grow? All right, go ahead, Matt. You think you got it? We'll give it to you. Go ahead.
The grapes are still on the vine in their grape clusters, so the juice is still, or the pure blood of the grape, is literally still in the grape waiting to be delighted in.
Amen. Freshly. It's not even squeezed yet. But God said, don't destroy it, because it's going to be squeezed. And it's going to be blessed. And what kind of wine is that? That's new, fresh, not distilled, not fermented wine. In other words, all I'm saying to you tonight, the Bible is filled with good wine. And there was a man, I talked about him last week, his name was Dr. Thomas Welsh. How many have heard of Welsh's grape juice? Well, do you know why there's a Welsh's grape juice? Dr. Tom Welsh, in his church in the 1800s, was the man who was over serving the Lord's table. And he was a doctor, actually a dentist, but he had a medical degree. And he decided, you know what? I want to help churches to have communion, not with bad wine, but with good wine, unfermented, undistilled, no alcohol content. And so he made Welsh's grape juice, which he pasteurized it so it would preserve it and they could keep it as pure without alcohol. And so we're indebted to him. When you take the Lord's table, it comes out of the Passover, and the bread that represented Jesus' body, because Jesus' body was sinless, right, had to be what kind of bread? Yell it out. Unleavened bread. That means no fermentation, no corruption. It had to be unleavened bread. They had to get the leaven out for the Passover and for the whole celebration of that feast there after Passover, the unleavened bread feast. And so they did that. Now, if the body of Christ is represented by unleavened bread, no fermentation of the bread, so to speak, what do you think the blood would be represented by, Brother Jose?
Unfermented wine.
Unfermented wine. That's good, pure wine without the fermentation process required to put alcohol into it and the distillation. And so I believe the Lord's table was unfermented. And here's what it says in Mark 14:25, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, I will drink no more of the fruit of the vine until that day that I drink it." Now don't miss this, every word Bible, "until I drink it new in the kingdom of God." Do you know, this is an interesting study, but the day of the Lord ends 30 days after the 7 years with the Battle of Armageddon. If you're reading Revelation with us, I allude to these things. Then there's a 45-day period, if you read Daniel 12, between the end of the 7 years and the extra 30 days, which are found in Daniel 12, that finishes the day of the Lord's wrath. 45 days to get ready for the millennial kingdom. And in that time, the bride is going to come down on the first day of the millennium from heaven. That's us who are saved. And we're going to have the marriage supper on earth in Israel. Not in heaven. There's a marriage ceremony in heaven. But you know, after a marriage ceremony like you have in church, what do you have? The reception. So the reception is on earth. And Jesus said, "I won't have the Lord's table with you again until the first day of the millennium, and I'll drink it new with you." In other words, fresh, squeezed wine of the grape representing his blood. That's why Proverbs 31 said, "It's not for kings, O Lemuel, to drink booze." And we're going to talk about that tonight. I got to get into it. And we've been talking about good wine. And I'll just say one more verse. Deuteronomy 32:14 talks about the pure blood of the grape. Pure blood of the grape. Deuteronomy 32:14. That is what represents the blood of Jesus. The pure blood of the grape. Deuteronomy 32:14. Too many people have said too much darkening counsel without knowledge and have tried to push booze on you by showing all these verses on wine and not understanding there are two kinds of wine. One is good for you, the other is bad for you. And if it goes for wine, it goes for beer, and it goes for vodka, and it goes for whiskey, and anything else like that. And so tonight I want to look at, secondly, you should see that there is a bad wine in the Bible. And I think about deaths from alcohol. There's a chart we put up last week about deaths from alcohol. And there are a whole lot of deaths from alcohol. And you can see that up there. 20% of all freezing deaths from alcohol. 25% of all choking deaths because of alcohol. 33% of all motor vehicle injuries, alcohol. Of all child abuse cases, 34% involves alcohol. 40% of all divorces involves alcohol. 50% of all fractures, if you go into an emergency room in the hospital, alcohol. All rapes, 50% of all rapes. By the way, one out of every four girls gets raped. 50% of all rapes related to alcohol. 50% of all deaths from falls, alcohol. 52% of fire deaths. 60% of all suicides. By the way, alcohol depresses you. People say, I tell alcohol because I was depressed. Well, you're going to get more depressed. And then 64% of all murders, 65% of all motorcycle crashes, 69% all recreational boating injuries, 69% of all drownings. Natalie Wood, when she drowned, whether she was murdered or drowned or both, she was drunk. She was drunk. She was drunk. 72% of all alcohol, all assault and robberies involve alcohol. 76% of all recreational aircraft deaths. Boy, I'm just saying, we've got to watch out about alcohol. I said last week that my sister-in-law, my wife's sister, married my brother, and their daughter, their only daughter, Lindsay, was at church on a Wednesday night with them praying. And she was coming back from church with them, and she was leading them, and they were behind her at a red light, I think, where you turn left, possibly. I know where it was. I've been there in Grand Rapids. And a car had left a rock concert, and the guy was high, and he crossed four lanes and hit her head on and killed her immediately. And my brother had to come out, and his daughter was dead. Little baby in her womb, Hope, her name was, dead. I saw that little baby when I went there and cried with my brother and his family. It was booze, drugs, being high. Alcohol is a drug, and it is bad. Billy Sunday said that he hated alcohol. He said he'll fight alcohol till hell freezes over. And he said, when hell freezes over, I'll put on ice skates and I'll keep fighting it. He said, I'll fight alcohol and I'll bite it until my teeth fall out. And he said, when I get old and my teeth fall out, I'll gum it to death. He said, I'll keep fighting it. And Billy Sunday did that. And he was responsible for prohibition in this country. And I'm just saying that when we hold the standard up, the world takes notice. And we can be salt. And maybe they're not saved, but it'll keep them from going farther and farther away from the standard of God here. And God said there's good wine and bad wine. Bad wine always has alcohol content in it. Let's go to the Bible. Let's go to some bad alcohol verses. Let's look at Genesis 9, 20 through 26. It says, Noah began to be a husbandman. That's a farmer. And he planted a vineyard, and he drank of the wine and was drunken. And he was uncovered in his tent. Now, this was right after the flood. Noah was a godly man, but he drank of the wine, and he was drunken. And Ham, the father of Canaan, saw the nakedness of his father and told his two brothers without. So Ham just went right in there and looked at his father drunk and naked. And it says, Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went backward and covered the nakedness of their father. And their faces were backward and they saw not their father's nakedness. And we've already talked about nakedness and how God wants to teach Christians how to cover up properly, how to dress properly. You know, you see these old-fashioned pictures of Americans, and they were closer to the dress standards of the Bible than we are today. But anyway, it says, and Noah woke from his wine and knew what his younger son had done unto him. And he said, cursed be Canaan, a servant of servants shall he be unto his brethren. Now, it says what he had done unto him. What did that mean? Did it mean that he did more than just look at his nakedness? It seems that that is the case. Because he put a curse on his son. You say, why did he curse Ham's son, Canaan? Because he knew the same immoral qualities in Ham were manifest in Canaan, his son. And you say, how did that manifest? Well, you ever heard of the Canaanites? Very immoral people, and God had them all killed because they had so many STDs. They were so wicked. But it is tied in here with drunkenness. Alcohol leads to people getting naked. That's why, especially girls, when they go to these parties and there's going to be alcohol, they're going to get in trouble. They're going to get in trouble. And your sensibilities, your moral sensibilities are taken down with alcohol, depressed and suppressed with alcohol. And that's why it leads to nakedness. And that's why it leads to fornication. And you know, David Wilkerson, a great old-fashioned guy. You know, David Wilkerson had some old-fashioned standards. I used to like to read his messages. When he was a boy, he was in a church right here in Scranton. In the 50s. But David Wilkerson wrote a book, Sipping Saints. David Wilkerson was against alcohol. What's that noise? You owe me a pizza, whoever that is. David Wilkerson wrote a book called Sipping Saints. And here's what it said. 61% of all non-Catholics drink alcohol. Since the priests get drunk on alcohol a lot of times, 81% of all Catholics drink alcoholic beverages. Well, let's look at Genesis 19, verse 30 and following. It says, and Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. This after the city of Sodom was destroyed. His wife was gone. Now it's just his two daughters that are left. And it says he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelled in a cave, he and his two daughters. And the firstborn said unto the younger, our father's old, and there's not a man in the earth to come in unto us after the manner of all the earth. Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we'll lie with him that we may preserve seed of our father. So the oldest daughter is saying, we're not going to have any children unless we get our father to lie with us so we can be pregnant and have kids. And so how's that going to be? Well, notice what it says. And they made their father drink wine that night. And the firstborn went in and lay with her father, and he perceived not when she lay down and when she arose. And it came to pass on the morrow that the firstborn said to the younger, behold, I lay yesterday with the father. Let us make him drink wine this night also. And the younger arose and lay with him, and he perceived not when she lay down nor when she arose. Thus were both the daughters of Lot with child by their father. That's pretty bad fornication. About as low as it goes. How did it happen? Well, where do you think the daughters learned that? Even though they were virgins, it says. In Sodom. There's a lot of stuff in Sodom that went on because of alcohol. And obviously this is bad wine. Bad wine has alcohol in it and leads to nakedness, leads to fornication. Lot had no idea what was going on. He was drunk out of his mind. How many of you have heard of parties and then a woman will say, I found out later on, but I didn't even know I was raped. And they'll try to sue the guy or get him afterward. Stay away from alcohol. Stay as far away from it as you can. Do not be there, the Bible says. Do not hang around that kind of thing. And the Bible says, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. There are people that are deceived by alcohol. We had people in our church back in the day, back before I became a fundamentalist in 1985, before that. And we had deacons and they drank wine with alcohol. And guess what? It messed up the church. It messed up families. It messed up marriages. And I realized something is wrong here, seriously wrong, and we need to get right with God. And we had one guy in the church, I remember, he stood up and dumped his booze out. He got rid of his pipes and his cigarettes and everything. And the wife was so happy because she said, my father was an alcoholic and I had to live through that. And I married a Christian husband. And under the influence of believers that were liberated and thought they could drink wine in moderation. You ever heard that? Well, it's just drink it in moderation. No. You don't drink alcoholic wine at all. You stay away from it. And it says, don't look on the wine when it moves in the cup. I was in Wegmans the other day, and I walked around, and I went through the alcohol. They got a lot of booze in Wegmans. Do you know that, Joe? Whole section. And I just put my head down when I went through it. I don't want to even look at it. Because you look, you think, and then you think, and who knows? I remember my wife and I went down to Mexico, and we were down there, and they gave us a beautiful place to stay in. It was, oh, man, they had jacuzzi, beautiful pool. It was so nice. I got there that night, and they had a big bottle of rum and a big bottle of champagne. And they welcome you to the room, you know. It was a really... And the first thing I did, my wife can testify, I took that rum and that champagne. I went, glug, 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 put it right in the toilet. Threw it away. You don't need that stuff. And so don't be deceived thereby. And, you know, it causes raging anger. You know, a lot of drunks, they get into anger. I knew a drunk one time almost strangled his wife to death. And he just was too drunk. And he was drinking gin. And he said, for some reason, gin makes me angry. Well, I'm just saying, alcohol is raging. We saw the statistics. Wives get abused because of alcohol. And it also causes the user to get mocked and do embarrassing things to those that witness that. And it's not really funny. It's not a joke when you see a drunk or you live with a drunk, you know. And it says, he that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. Proverbs 21:17. Donald Trump is probably worth between right now $4 and $8 billion net worth. He doesn't drink any alcohol. Not a bit. Never touches it. Never touches it. And a lot of wealthy people don't, because they know it will steal from them. It's a great waster. Proverbs 23:21 says that drinking alcohol will cause you to come to poverty and clothe you with rags. I've seen kids where their fathers were drunk all the time, going to the bar all the time, and the kids didn't have enough grocery money for the, you know, to get their groceries, their food. They lived their lives really suffering because the man was drinking. You say, well, how many people that drink alcohol become that kind of alcoholic that they would, at least 40%. At least 40%. That's almost one out of every two. Many kids have suffered because of their parents on alcoholism. I had a professor in college, his mother was a drunk. And it was so terrible, he said. It was so embarrassing. And he struggled so much. Proverbs 23, 29, and 30 says, who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of the eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go to seek. What kind of wine? Mixed wine. See, wine that's mixed with alcohol will cause people to spend a long time in drinking parties and in bars because it's alcoholic. Some people want to get a liquor license. Listen, a restaurant that had liquor license, I would not have any of my kids serving it because the Bible says there's a curse upon people that serve alcohol to people. Even if you don't drink it, you're a pusher. You're helping others to drink it. And how stupid people are when they become bartenders. Billy Sunday's own son got into boozing. What a fool. What a foolish decision. Could be that somebody here tonight will go that route. And how foolish it is. Because it says here what that kind of wine will do to you. It'll lead to sorrow. It'll lead to arguing. It'll lead to slurred speech, incoherent speech, getting all kinds of injuries. And then you don't even understand how you got serious injuries. And you're doing all of this stuff. And it leads to divorce over and over again. I had a lady in my church. She was from England. She married a World War II guy, American, an all-American love story, right? And then he fell in love with booze. And she told me, Pastor, I need some counsel. Help me out. She was getting up in years. I was a young pastor. I said, well, you just stay with him. She said, do you realize how bad it is? I said, what do you mean? She said, I go to bed in that bed, and he has no control over his bowels because of alcohol. And that's what the bed is filled with, night after night. What a sad thing. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. You say, what's strong drink? Well, in the Bible, strong drink would be apple juice, any other kind of juice that's not grape juice. But there's two kinds of strong drink. There's one that has alcohol and one that doesn't. And so you see, the context will tell you whether it's good or bad strong drink or whether it's good or bad wine as well. And so it says here that this wine is bad wine. And in Habakkuk 2, verse 5, and I'll wrap it up, it says, In Habakkuk 2:4, the prophet says that a saved man is saved through faith. Then in verse 5, it says this, yes, also because he transgresseth by wine. The bad man, the unsaved man, the wicked man, how does he transgress? By wine. In other words, wine will help you, if it's the bad wine, to get into deeper and deeper sin. By the way, when I was a kid, I used to stay at my grandmother's. And the same grandmother that led me to the Lord married my step-grandfather, who was a nice guy, not saved all his life. Thank God he got saved at the end. But he always had booze. And before I was saved and I was a teenager, I would just think, yeah, I'll go up here and take some booze and drink some and put water in it. He won't know the difference. How stupid it is to have alcohol around a teenager. I'm just saying that wine is a mocker. People say, well, Jesus made the water into wine. Well, the furcons there in John 2 mean he made 160 gallons of wine. And when he served that wine, the wine tester, the guy that was drinking the wine, he said, that's the best wine of all. You can't, a wine tester that's drinking alcohol does not swallow wine. He just puts it in his mouth, tastes a little bit, spits it out. Why? Because if you're drinking wine like the governor of the feast was supposed to be doing and others were supposed to be doing, you could not taste it to be able to discern the best wine. I submit to you, when Jesus made the water into wine, he was making fresh, unfermented, good wine that God celebrates. He's the creator, and he made it good. You need to make a decision if you haven't made it already. I'm going to stay away from bad wine. I'm going to stay away from bad strong drink. I am going to only drink the good stuff. And God will bless you, and you will be able to lead others in the right way. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed, and we've been talking about the good wine and the bad wine. And I wonder tonight if you say, preacher, I've made a firm commitment already. Before tonight, I've already been practicing it. I don't have booze in my refrigerator. I don't have it hidden in my house. I will have no part of it, and I will not drink it myself. If you can say that, would you raise your right hand and just praise God? Amen and amen. Thank God for that. You can put it down. Thank God for that. Tonight, if you haven't done that, I encourage you to do it, number one. Number two, if God has spoken to your heart about some area tonight, I encourage you to follow through on it and be blessed by obeying the Word of God. I'm going to ask that we stand. I'm going to sing. Go ahead, Eli, you come, and he has an invitation. And let's stand together tonight, and as the invitation is being played, if you need to come to the altar, maybe even not for yourself, but to pray for somebody else that's hooked up with booze, hooked up with sin, hooked up with something that they need to be broken from, may you come and pray and ask God to intervene, ask God to bless, because it's prayer meeting tonight. And we are God's priests. We are God's people. But how can we be priests? How can we be faithful? How can we help others if we ourselves are involved in any kind of helping, serving alcohol, encouraging it in any way? God, help us to take a firm stand. God, help us to lift up the standards and stay with the Bible and stay with the old paths and stay with the old landmarks of our old fundamentalist fathers. God, help us. Let's pray together tonight. Our Heavenly Father and our God, we thank you tonight for prayer meeting. Thank you for each one that has come apart from everyday things of the world to hear your word, to meet with you tonight, and to meet with your people, Lord. God, we pray your protection upon us. Protect us from bad alcohol, bad drinks that are alcoholic, Lord. Lead us into the good things and into the blessed things, and help us, Lord, to lead others to Christ and then to have the standards of the Word of God in their life. Lord, help us to hold up the standards and hold them up high. And we just thank you for all that you do. Give us a great summer, Lord, we pray. And may it be a summer where we are holy and where we are blessed. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Have a blessed night.
Because they keep trying.
Yeah.
Huh?
Oh, I do.